It is the custom of these stories to say they began once upon a time, but in truth there is no need to be so vague in this case. The story begins 4 weeks after the birth of Cinderella's second child, 3 months before King Arthur first met Sir Lancelot, and in the same year the last ever griffin was spotted flying over the mist-covered mountains. The story begins with a young woman. She had lived all her life in a small cottage with her father, a miller, and on the day in question, she was being obedient. You see, the young woman was in the habit of going off into the forest to collect berries or firewood, or to go and visit the old woman whose granddaughter was famous for the Red Hood. She had been in this habit for many years, and as she was a sweet, kind girl, and all the animals knew it, they would come out to meet her on her trips into the forest. The birds would ask her advice on which twigs to use for their nests. The squirrels would proudly show off their younglings. Even the bears would occasionally ask if she could possibly reach that spot on their backs and give it a good scratch. All this was good, and everyone was happy with the way things were. But as the young woman was such a lovely companion, some of the animals decided they did not want to part from her. It began with a young rabbit who followed her back to her home. The young woman did not even think of refusing her friend. She asked her father if she might let the rabbit stay as her special friend. Unable to refuse her the slightest request, her father said she could. Another time she went into the forest and a fox followed her home. He, too, became her special friend and got along with the rabbit far better than you would have expected. 4 badgers, 6 fawns, 12 sparrows, 3 weasels, 1 lynx, and 3 hedgehogs later, and her father found himself in some distress. He could not bear to refuse his daughter or her friends, but feeding so many mouths was more than he could afford. He was sad to do it. But he finally delivered an edict that his dear child was forbidden to return to the forest. Though sad not to see so many of her friends, the young woman was obedient and swore to her father she would not go into the forest. Indeed, on the day in question, she was nowhere near the forest. She could not even see the forest. She was as far from the forest as her legs could possibly have taken her in one day. She was, in fact, in the woods. The sun had begun to set that day, and the miller found himself full of worry. Why was his beautiful daughter so late in coming home? Was she sad out in the world, unable to see the animals who were her friends? Then he looked out the window to see her coming down the road. There was a brilliant smile on her face, and she was obviously not in the least lonely. But the miller's heart was not lightened. At her heels was a dragon, half as big as their cottage. The dragon wore the same expression of adoration as all of the young woman's other special friends. To be fair, the dragon was more useful than many of the other animals. He would awaken early and light the fire under the baker's oven, and knowing he could not live within the little cottage, he quite politely dug his own cave. Moreover, he was the best of friends with the young woman, and they played and danced and kept each other company. Nevertheless, it was true that dragons are hungry creatures, and very soon the miller and his daughter were poor from trying to keep him and the other animals fed. Now, as is true with most lovely young women who are kind and friendly, several men in the town were in love with the young woman and wanted to marry her. The miller decided he had little choice but to marry his daughter off and let her husband take on the feeding of her friends. There was a cooper who had not much money and lived in a cottage even smaller than the miller's. Yet he had a great heart and was more than willing to let all the animals within. He even offered the dragon space inside, although his home was made of logs and thatch. Despite his cramped little home and his lack of common sense, the young woman loved the cooper the most. He made her laugh when she needed to smile and held her when she needed to cry. And so those two might have been very happy together, but for one thing. Whenever the cooper got within 10 feet of the dragon, he began to sneeze uncontrollably. His eyes swelled so tightly shut he could not see. One night, before she went to sleep, the young woman told her deepest thoughts to the dragon, as she often did. She told him that though she loved the cooper with all her heart, she could not bear to see her friends go hungry and her father growing poorer by the day. So she had decided to marry the blacksmith's son instead. Now, the blacksmith's son was by far the wealthiest young man in the town, and he had asked for her hand many times. He'd agreed to keep on feeding the animals and even offered to build a stone hut for the dragon. However, he refused to let her special friends share the house with them and insisted they stay in a barn he would build if she would be his wife. She told the dragon this with tears in her eyes and went to bed, trying to hide her sobs from her father. The dragon did not sleep that night. His friend was in distress, and he needed to think. This was a hard thing for him. You see, dragons do not think the way you or I do. Dragons live so long that it is rare for them to need to come up with a new solution to a problem. Instead, they usually have only to remember what has come before. This is difficult for them because they have so many memories to sort through. And besides, they keep their memories in their tails, and it takes quite a long time for those memories to travel from their tails to their heads. So it was 3 days later before the memory came back to the dragon about what to do when a woman loves a man who is allergic to dragons. It would have taken much longer if it had not been such a common problem several centuries earlier. By the time the dragon's memory returned to him, the young maiden had already broken the heart of her beloved Cooper, agreed to marry the blacksmith's son, and was on her way to the church doors to be wed. The dragon knew he must act quickly and began to gallop across the road to his dear friend. It so happened that along the way, the dragon came across the blacksmith's son and his friends, also on their way to the church. "Hurrah!" said the dragon. Now, as anyone who speaks dragon knows, this was an extremely compassionate way of breaking the news to the blacksmith's son that this was not to be his wedding day, and that he should not feel bad because he was a good person on many levels, and was sure to find happiness elsewhere. It was a shame, then, that the blacksmith's son and his friends did not speak a syllable of dragon. What they saw was a fearsome, scaly beast barreling toward them and roaring a challenge which meant something along the lines of, "I am a hungry monster here to crush you between my fearsome fangs and tear you apart for my lunch!" This is why it is always worth your time to learn another language if you can. In any case, the blacksmith's son turned and ran back to his home so fast he'd have outrun any stag, even if it had wings. He stayed inside only long enough to grab a sack of coins and a traveling cloak, and he and his friends were never to return to the village. The dragon continued on his way to the church, passing by the cooper's cottage on the way. Knowing what needed to be done, the dragon scratched at the door until the heartbroken man finally opened it. Said the dragon. It was the most beautiful thing the cooper had ever heard. He followed instructions immediately and plucked a scale off of the dragon's tail. Before the sneezing got too severe, he bit down on it and ate each and every piece of it. Instantly, his allergy subsided. He ran to the church and told his love what had happened. They were married in an hour. And that was just enough time for the dragon to deal with the other thing he'd remembered. He returned to the spot in the woods where many years before he had buried a piece of gold, approximately the size of a prize rooster. He gave it to the couple as a wedding gift, and they never wanted for food, no matter how many mouths they had to feed. It is the custom of these stories to say that they lived happily ever after. It might not be necessary to be so sentimental, but in truth, that would be just about right.
You have been listening to A Fairy Tale for Jill, written by Dan Wenzel, performed by Jill Wenzel. Music by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.